Good afternoon. I've known Lucas a while, and hopefully he won't mind if I've never gotten this talk below 25 minutes. That being said, I've got the word here that is, I'm hoping everybody knows what sustainable means. But I've never defined it, and frankly, it can describe a cropping system that is so stable that you can evaluate or compare tillage effects over a 30-year period. That's sustainable, something that works. Also want to take time to recognize the other contributing authors, especially Reggie Jones, who put this study into motion back in 83. I inherited these from him. And anyway, this study was conducted at Bushland. It was done on a Pullman clay loam, a gently sloping Pullman clay loam. Basically, the area, the landscape, slopes at 1.5%. You'll notice the plots there are in a contour or on a curve. That's a contour so that these plots drain on a specific grade. Now, this Pullman was set up or first cultivated in 1927. The rotation that I'm talking about, the wheat sorghum fallow rotation, was actually established in these plots, or part of these plots, in about 1949, albeit a little flaky at the beginning. I don't know. There it is. Okay, over here, these are the wheat part of the wheat sorghum fallow. Here is the sorghum part of the wheat sorghum fallow, and then this is the fallow part of that rotation. So you notice all three phases of the rotation appear in every year. You also notice, okay, we've got tillage on here. This is the stubble mulch tillage, and then this is the no tillage. So that was really set up nicely for a t-test comparison. And then after SAS came along, we came up with some other things. The objectives of the test is simply to compare conventional stubble mulch tillage and no-tillage residue management effects on deep drainage, stormwater runoff, soil water storage, and of course crop yields. I keep talking about the wheat sorghum fallow rotation. This is a plot or a diagram of that. It's kind of like a three-year clock that goes from October around through 3 years back to October. I've also included a plot of the precipitation. There it is. From 0 to 75 millimeters. This is radially plotted. So in May and June when you get high rainfall, that's about 75 millimeters. So how we do this? In October, as soon as we get adequate rain, we'll plant wheat. It'll be planted at 45 kilograms per hectare. We do that with a hoe drill. The spacing between rows are about 30 centimeters. The herbicides we use are going to basically be soil active herbicides. For both growing seasons, we'll also use selective as possible. We harvest in July for the wheat. And then I've got fallow written down here twice. It's officially only fallow on this part because this is the year that's not cropped. However, I call this wheat fallow and sorghum fallow just so you know which one's which. Sorghum will be planted in June usually. That's on 75 centimeter between rows spacing, population of 8 plants per square meter. We measure the rainfall, we measure the stormwater runoff through type H flumes. We use undisturbed cores for our soil water content to 1.8 meters. We use multiple replicates of our hand harvest samples for both the wheat and sorghum grain and biomass yields. Like I said, this was set up originally as a paired t-test, and definitely that works well. We also do a comparison of tillage as fixed effects within a mixed linear model, and use repeated measure to kind of take out the rotation of 3 years, that effect. Our friends from Austin came up to do some soil sampling and deep soil core measurements. These were a series of 1.2 meter long cores that were contained in plastic sleeves. We'd go down at least as far as 14 meters. Bob was telling me he almost set the record over 20 meters in our plots. Didn't quite make it. Now, what we're after is to identify the chloride leaching in this profile. Once you know the depth of the chloride versus the time that the cultivation has been employed, you can estimate the velocity of the chloride profile front. Take that, multiply it times the mean of the soil water content, and you've got the drainage amount. For example, if you look at native pasture where the water generally doesn't get past the root zone, our measured chloride profile got down or leached down about 0.34 meters. In contrast, you look over here, the stubble mulch, it's coming down to what it was 0.91 meters. So it went 570 millimeters in 80 years from, in other words, we cultivated in 1927, we punched these holes in 2007. So after 80 years, we got a measure, and it was 7 millimeters of depth per year for that velocity profile. Multiply that times the water content, drainage was 2.4 millimeters. Now the no-till, basically it's moving down to here, oh, that's about 2.1 meters, differential of 1,200 millimeters from the stubble mulch in a 25-year period, that's 83 to 2007, gives you 48 millimeters advance in that velocity profile. And that worked out to 12 millimeters of drainage. Okay. We also measured runoff. Now you don't expect a whole lot of runoff during the growing season, and we didn't get a whole lot during the sorghum growing season. We'd had a bit, I figure that kind of came in November. Most of our runoff is during the fallow period, more specifically the spring rains is where we're going to see runoff. Wheat fallow, that one had like 20%, 20 to 30%. Of the total runoff measured in this three-year rotation. The sorghum fallow, it comes in at about 40%, where we're talking about a total for a three-year rotation of 82 millimeters or 52 millimeters. You divide all that by three to annualize it, and it comes out 27 and 17 millimeters, which for those of you who are wondering are like 6 to 4% of the rainfall, so it's not much. So, we get a little bit more drainage, a little bit more runoff, and now you look at the soil water content at planting. In other words, after wheat fallow or after sorghum fallow, to make a long story short, we're increasing our soil water by 20 to 30 millimeters when we use no-till compared to stubble mulch till. We can calculate a fallow efficiency using typically used rainfall, because you either prevent or don't, you know, you prevent runoff on these plots usually. But since we can measure it, we were able to correct our rainfall for the runoff. And it changed our number, our estimate of the fallow efficiency by about 2%. But basically, no-till was, you know, the fallow efficiency was 6% more than for stubble mulch till. Now, the money market is in the grain yield in this one. Oops. So, the grain yield for wheat didn't vary. It was 1,800 kilograms per hectare. And I've got this plotted using the declining, I've got this plotted using declining exceedance probability. And you can see there's really no difference there between the wheat yields. Whereas grain sorghum appears to be generally better, and of course it yielded about 500 kilograms per hectare on average better. The water use efficiency, which I did correct for the drainage in this is much better for sorghum than it is for wheat, which was essentially the same. So, I think I'll summarize. No-till fallow increased storage of precipitation by 20 to 30 millimeters compared with our stubble mulch tillage. So, more water stored with no-till. No-till has a wetter soil profile. It also has associated with that greater drainage. So you lose water to drainage. So more water stored, even though you have more drainage. And, oh, by the way, you have more runoff with no-till. Yes, there are residues that intercept raindrops and increase your infiltration, but I'm here to tell you, we do have more runoff in our no-till. I can show you that plot, but you just saw it once. Now, if you take the soil water depletion for wheat, and you do correct it for lost runoff, lost drainage, what you get is an ET for wheat that's essentially the same. It's 345 versus 354. So gee whiz, there's no difference in water use, there's no difference in the yield. Water is a wonderful thing. And if you got more of it, like 25 millimeters more, you get a yield increase of 500 kilograms per hectare in your sorghum. So in conclusion, I believe sustainable semi-arid dryland cropping systems really have to control evaporative losses of water. And when you do that, you're probably going to be using no-till. So anyway, I'll stop there. Otherwise, I'll get preachy.
Any time for one question from Lewis? One of the issues we find is that the chloride mass balance doesn't allow the preparation of flow systems and consequently underestimates drainage by about 25%. This is the chloride mass balance data with the tension density data, and it's underestimated by 25%. Do you think this was another difference?
Maybe it could have. I mean, now, we had an estimate of 40 millimeters of drainage from the no-till, and that is very nearly dead on with another method I used for estimating drainage, which came in at 17 millimeters per year. So it could be, the 14, you take 20% of that, that's 3 or 4 millimeters. Could be we are underestimating it 3 or 4, but gee whiz, it's 14 millimeters versus 11 or 17. I mean, it didn't shift the ET too much.